I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Parents, do your children need some time away from you? Bring them to Vacation Bible School, July the 10th through the 13th, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church at 201 East 3rd Street in Seymour. You can register by visiting Trinity United Methodist Church's website or the Facebook page. It will be a stellar adventure. Hope to see you there. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Dee Hess in honor of her and David's 21st wedding anniversary. Our music this morning is Morning Has Broken by Jim Paffenberger and Mark Smallwood.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day, Mark.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much, sir. We're happy to be here today, proof. We're going to sing a number for you in a minute, but a couple things I'd like to say about Father's Day. Tony Ann just tore it up. That was a wonderful children's message, Tony Ann. And I wore one of my favorite vests this morning. It's a leather vest that Larry Sharp gave me years ago. He gave it to me because it shrunk. He said that he couldn't wear it anymore, and I looked at it. I didn't know leather shrunk, but it fits me pretty good. Fits me pretty well. But anyway, like Tony Ann, she told a dad joke. I can't wear this without telling a Larry joke. Is that okay?
Sure.
We got time for that, I hope. Anyway, because Larry told some good jokes. They were kind of cringeworthy too. But if you loved Larry like we all did, you didn't care. So here's a good Larry joke, also known as dad joke. There was a Sunday school teacher with a group of Sunday school kids. And she wanted to get them ready for the worship service. So they were a beautiful bunch of kids. And she said, why is it important that we be real quiet when the preacher's preaching? One little girl raised her hand. She said, I know, I know. She said, okay, Sally, why? Because people are sleeping. Not in this congregation, though. Never. Never. But Mark and I have worked up a number here. I'm also wearing a ring that my dad kind of gave me. All right? My dad had already passed, but my mom wanted me to have this ring. I don't think my dad would mind at all that I'm wearing it, and I wanted to wear it to honor him today. And it's not about what they gave us, the stuff here, the rings. You can take those to Goodwill. But what they gave us, and I know your dad did too, they gave us good lessons to live while we're in the walls of this church and when we go outside the walls of the church. Whether it was Francis, that's my right. Dad, Larry, any of them, Jack, Kendall, they taught us lessons and they were great teachers. Pete Penner's another one. I don't want to leave out any names, but they were just great leaders of good lessons, just simple, good living Christians. But Mark and I have got a number worked up for Father's Day. It's called Morning Has Broken. There's a little history about this song. It was written in 1931, not by Cat Stevens.
Darn!
But he popularized it, he popularized it in 1971. And then the first time I sang it, we sang it at a graduation. I was in choir. And I think it was 1978. And we're saying graduation for the class of 78. And I remember a young man, 2 years older than me, named Ron Lowe, had the solo. But anyway, it's a great song. I wanted to sing it before summer. We wanted to sing it before summer hit because it's a beautiful spring song. And we want to sing it in honor of Father's Day.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken rains do fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 9, 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He went to his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the host of sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Our sermon this morning is Mission Opportunities by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Thank you, Judy. And beloved, we do indeed have many mission opportunities. Some we have not even thought of. And that workshop this coming Saturday at North Vernon First United Methodist, we're going to be talking about how to reach our neighbors. You know, a lot of people think that missions have to be some great big thing, like digging wells for water, or they have to be overseas, serving the hungry. You've all seen the Compassion International videos and things like this. I can remember that's what was stuck in my head as far as missions was concerned. But we have opportunity to do missions right here where we are. I remember when I was taking CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, training to be a chaplain, learning how to do face-to-face ministry, especially with the sick and the dying and those going through trauma. It was in Fort Wayne at Fort Wayne Lutheran. which is a level one trauma center. I was on the MFIC unit up there. It was like a huge ICU ward. And I remember all of the students. I did two semesters there. And every year, students come from all over our nation to take CPE there. They all fought over who got what floor and how many people they got to see. Because, you see, they had to record their face-to-face visits for their hours. I remember laughing because they were fighting. You see, I didn't even have to get in the doors of the hospital to do ministry. As I was outside walking in, if somebody was getting out of their car or somebody was sitting on the bench, I'd sit and talk to them. I'd talk to people in the elevators, in the cafeteria, in the bathrooms. That's what ministry is all about. Reaching people right where they are at. And our Lord Jesus Christ knew that. This scripture tells us that Jesus knew that the most important thing was meeting the needs of the needy, feeding the hungry, visiting the sick and those who were in jail, taking care of the widows and the orphans, coming alongside of or giving voice to those who are marginalized. It's no different today, beloved. Yesterday, we had one of the best community meals that we've ever had. There was a young man, I was hoping he was going to be here today. His name was Stewie. It was obvious that he was living on the street, but he had an incredible attitude. He asked all about the ministry we did, all about our church, all about the people who were there. He said, "Where were you people 5 years ago when I first got sober?" He said that he had been addicted to heroin, that he had schizophrenia, and that he had gotten off of his meds. And he started telling us about how people came alongside of him and just told him about the love of Jesus. First, they met his needs. They took care of his hunger. They took care of getting him clothes and blankets so that he could indeed sleep outside. And I have never been more proud of our church, except for maybe when we went over to Nick and Carolyn's. That was an amazing time. But I got to see several people get up, hug this man, hand him a little bit of money. You could tell he wasn't expecting that at all. He would ask the ones who gave it to him, "Are you sure you can afford this?" The thing that really touched me was how many of us got up and hugged this young man. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that Jesus touched people? It was as if every time he touched somebody, whether it was a leper or a widow, he was saying, "I accept you for who you are." Touch is so important. And so many people live without touch. Our Lord was clearly trying to make a point about his own missions and his followers. Jesus gave the 12 who were with him constantly the authority to cast out unclean spirits and to cure diseases of every kind. He did not say a word at that time about preaching or teaching or saving souls. Yes, evangelism is important. And it has a gold standard. The gold standard comes with the Great Commission. It says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." But you know, Acts 1:8 is a good example of what Jesus is trying to teach us in this morning's scripture. He is telling us the missions should be started right here where we are at, in our own backyard. It says in Acts 1:8 that the Holy Spirit will come upon us with power. And I believe that with all of my heart. When we know not what to say in prayer, the Holy Spirit speaks through us. It says the Holy Spirit will come upon us with power, and we will go into Judea and Samaria. And way down at the end here is the ends of all the earth. Jesus is telling us that we start right here in our community. I love it when Vacation Bible School does a local mission. You know, group has these wonderful, wonderful mission ideas, like taking a soccer ball and everybody signing it and sending it off to Africa, or people tying a blanket and praying over it and sending it to Peru. And those are great things. But I think what is important for children to see is how the needs get met right here in our community. Showing them that there are hungry people and needy people right here. This year again for VBS, we will be serving provisions, Anchor House, and our own food pantry, so that those kids see that there is a need right here in this community, and they get to help meet that need. Sorry. The church, if it is to be any kind of church whatsoever, needs to be involved in missions. Jesus told us that we were to make disciples. He told us that anything we did for the poor, for the hurting, for the hungry, we were doing unto him. The church is the place that people should be able to turn to when they're hungry, when they're lonely, when they're afraid. That is our job as a church. The great Christian theologian of last century, a Swiss Reformed Christian named Karl Barth, has written, "The church is either a missionary church or it is no church at all." And I have to say that I agree with that. Today's gospel lesson corrects the view of missions that it is far away. And it tells us to start right here. That's why Matthew has Jesus instruct the 12, "Go nowhere among Gentiles and enter no town of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Start in your own backyard. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that we couldn't witness to or serve others. He would never say that. He just felt that that would happen in the course of the mission to the Hebrews, Matthew 10:18. We may learn from Jesus' instructions in our gospel that missions happens right here in our community. You know, there are missionaries that go to Asia, that go to Africa, that go to South America. And they are important. I know stepping out into places like that is definitely stepping out of your comfort zone. But so is serving the lost and the poor right here in this community. Jim Wallace, a well-known evangelical political activist, wrote a best-selling book titled God's Politics. Those two words should not even go together. It pointed out that when we deal with the poor, we are responding to God's penchant to serve the underdog. Time and time again in the Bible, God goes for those who are marginalized, for those who are poor, for the widows and for the orphans. Jesus' words in our lesson today provide us a clear, unambiguous evidence The Christian mission must include, it must indeed prioritize the poor and the outcast. Jesus reached out and touched people right there where he was. The Father, the spiritual father of the Methodist Church, said, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And for John Wesley, the first two were only so that he could accomplish the third. Earn all you can, save all you can, so that he could give all he could, thereby glorifying his heavenly Father. I think sometimes it's easy for us to throw money at a situation, especially if it's a situation that is far away from us. It is harder still to be present. I know that a lot of you are involved in various kinds of mission, Meals on Wheels, volunteering at the hospital, talking to your neighbors. But I believe that we've been talking for a couple of years about praying to see where God would have us to reach out to our community. And the time has come for us to start enacting that. So I challenge you, if you have an idea for Trinity United Methodist Church and how we can reach our community in any way, shape, or form, write it down and give it to me next week. Text me, email me, tell Terry, whatever it takes, so that we can begin to meet the needs of this community, because it does indeed start right here. John Calvin, the reformer of 16th century Geneva, Switzerland, often offered a penetrating observation in response to Jesus' remarks about the disciples receiving freely in order to give freely. I love that hymn. We were given salvation freely without cost. Isn't that the most important thing to any of us? Is that we will live in eternity with God the Father. John Calvin said, we know how unwilling every man is to communicate to others what he considers to belong to himself, and how anyone who appears to excel above the rest of the brethren ends up despised by all. Do you get the point? Every good and perfect gift comes from God the Father. Yes, you work hard. Yes, you save. And you're smart about your planning. But each and every one of us present here today would have absolutely nothing if it was not for God the Father bestowing those gifts upon us. We get to use those gifts, but they don't belong to us. Everything that has been so freely given to us, we are charged to give freely to others. Especially love, care, and concern. Beloved, I wonder sometimes what has happened to our society. Why we struggle so much to live this out. And sometimes I wonder if it's not because the American Christian Church has gotten so caught up in political issues, abortion, homosexuality, all kinds of different issues. And I'm not saying that different issues that are important to our hearts are not part of Jesus' work as well. But the Bible calls us to do the same things that Jesus did. And beloved, all that stuff did not end in the New Testament. We are told that if we believe, we can do the same works, if not greater, than Jesus Christ our Lord did. Throughout the entire Bible, the Old Testament, especially the New Testament, we are told to care for those who cannot care for themselves. to be the voice of those who cannot be their own voice. And I wonder, have we forgotten that? Have we become complacent? And if we have, how can we change that? Romans 5:5 says God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, given to us in salvation by grace. Our gospel lesson implies this point when Jesus says to his disciples that they have been given grace freely, and they are to freely give. This is why missions are so very important. Doing the work of missions should not be a burden upon the Christian church. It should be our joy, our privilege. At least, I hope so. We have a lot of opportunity to do different missions. I know all of you do something in this community to better it. But I ache to see us come together as a church and allow God our Father to powerfully bless our community through us. We have seen in the times that we have come together how much God has blessed that. So please pray and see where God is directing us. Martin Luther put it very well in his 1522 sermon. If someone desires from me a service I can render him, I will gladly do it out of goodwill. All of our works should be of such a nature that they flow from pleasure and love. Since for ourselves, we need nothing other than the Holy Spirit to make us pious, to make us holy. Beloved, even medical science tells us the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits of getting out of our own way, of being selfless, of serving others. It causes a neurochemical reaction in our brain. We begin to secrete dopamine. So, serving others makes us feel good. Our song of response says it starts right here in our community. Not in China, not in Africa, and not always even by preaching or doing evangelism. It starts by meeting needs. How many of you have heard a story of somebody who went into a store and had plans of killing themselves later? Or who was just overwhelmed with depression and somebody smiled at them and it changed their entire outlook upon life? I was blessed to witness that last night and was so proud of Beth and Chad and Dana and Mark when they came alongside of this young man and made him feel part of this church and this community. Jesus was teaching that the hurting in our city must come first. That if we want to see a change in this world, if we want to see our land healed, it's got to start right here with us.